can pick up the phone and call a friend. They call it using a lifeline to get the answer to the question, hopefully. And I don't think anybody's life is being saved by that phone call. But what I want to talk about today is fellowship and how fellowship really is a lifeline. It's a lifeline that we all can use. It gives us life in so many ways. And so I'm going to be talking from our scripture text today, which is 1 John 3:14. It says, "We know that we have passed from death to life." I guess it doesn't say it right there, but it says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters." And we're going to get to the second part of that scripture a little bit later on. But the message is this: fellowship gives us life in so many ways. And I've always valued it. I've always felt called to it. I've always felt that it's a critical part of our lives. And as I prepared for today, I started to realize not what I knew about fellowship, but how much I didn't know about fellowship. And that's what I want to share today. And I don't want you to take my words for it. We're going to be looking at a lot of what God tells us about fellowship. And in that respect, I want to warn you that I found some of these scripture verses that I'm going to be putting up here pretty hard to accept when it comes to fellowship. And I'll go over that when we get there. But they are God's word. They're his truths, and we need to know what they are. So you may have heard that some people call God's definition of fellowship the one another's. And there's more than 50 one another's in the Bible. Obviously, you don't have time to put them up this morning, but I've listed a few of them. And Jim, were you able to put those up? So I'm just going to read these quickly. If you feel inclined to jot down the scripture verse, feel free to do that, and you can go look at them. This is just a subset of the 50. But we're told by God to love one another, to consider one another, to teach one another, to serve one another, to pray for one another, accept, forgive, encourage, admonish. And it gets a little bit more transparent as we get down to some of these others. Confess your faults to one another and bear one another's burdens. So this is what God tells us is fellowship. And you can infer from this list that there are different levels of fellowship that range from, I would say, nothing more than light talk in the parish hall that we might do after a service like this, what I would call a transactional relationship, very high-level discussion, to the full depth, what I call the full depth of fellowship that comes from confessing our faults to one another, to bearing one another's burdens, what I would call transformational relationships. And the second thing that's important to note from the one another's is the reciprocity that's required for fellowship. It's the interaction with one another. In other words, we have to be willing to give as well as to receive. Kitty said that very well in her prayer. To do only one is to not love fully by depriving the other of the opportunity to love back. So, wow, I looked at this list and I asked myself, and I would encourage you to ask yourself, do you have at least one relationship with someone that you connect with regularly outside of your home, your immediate family, that's grounded in substantially all of these interactions? If we're not in relationships that are based on this type of interaction, we're not participating at the full depth of fellowship that God intends for us. Now, he doesn't just tell us that we need to be relating to each other this way. He also gives us four major reasons why fellowship is so important, and I wanted to just go over those. The first is fellowship is necessary for God to abide in us. If we look at 1 John 4:12, that's not 1 John 4:12. Oh, yes, it is. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, that's a different NIV version, Jim. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So So another way to say that is we need to be in fellowship with each other, with our brothers and sisters, in order to have the fullness of fellowship with God that he intends for us. And he shows us this in another scripture. I stopped when I read that and thought, wow, we need to be in fellowship with each other for God to abide in us. If we look at Matthew 5, 23 and 24, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. So this, I find, a difficult truth to absorb. A Christian cannot experience the fullness of fellowship with God and be out of fellowship with his brothers and sisters at the same time. We have to be in fellowship with each other for God to abide in us as fully as he intends to and wants us to. Second major reason, fellowship is where we learn to love. Love requires somebody else to love. It's never a solitary act. And if we look at John 13:34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Here we're being instructed to be as committed to the love of our brothers and sisters in the same way that Jesus was. Fellowship with the body of Christ is where our love is tested and it's where our love is proven. In fact, it's an opportunity to learn how to love one another. Relationships are the place where we develop our character unto the likeness of Christ. And because God is love, this is the most important lesson he wants us to learn here on earth, how to love. So it's necessary, fellowship's necessary for God to abide in us. Fellowship is necessary because it's where we learn to love. Thirdly, fellowship is needed for our spiritual growth. That was an eye-opener for me. Fellowship is needed for our spiritual growth. And I'll just ask you, has anyone ever felt stalled spiritually? And what do I mean by stalled? Meaning your love, I define spiritual growth as loving God and loving others. So if your love for God is not increasing, if your love for other brothers and sisters is not increasing, it's plateaued, I would say that's stalled. I felt that in my life. And that's time to use your lifeline and connect with another Christian. And when I've done that, those relationships have helped me resume a healthy spiritual growth. And God tells us this in Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. This is the key part right here. Let us not give up meeting together, as some, I would say many, are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Fellowship, meeting with each other, is a critical place where discipleship occurs. And that's what our mission is right here at WPC, to become a growing body of maturing disciples of Jesus Christ. And our character is shaped, if you think about it, our character is shaped largely by those who we relate to. So it's necessary for our spiritual growth. And finally, fourth reason God gives us is fellowship is the sum of the law. Let's look at Galatians 5:14. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the foundation of every command God gives us. And we all know, I think many of us feel, that learning to love is counter to our self-centered nature. But God gives us a plan for overcoming that too. Fellowship. So we can develop the skill of loving. That's where we work on it, in relationship with our brothers and sisters. Just like loving can't be practiced in isolation, learning to love cannot be practiced in isolation either. So fellowship's necessary for God to abide in us. It's necessary because it's where we learn to love. It's needed for our spiritual growth. And it's the way God gives us to follow his ultimate command. So we sum that up. We say, let's face it, God's telling us here, we've just seen it, how we cannot change deeply according to his will without being in fellowship with brothers and sisters. Now, here come some of the hard parts. God also warns us about four major consequences of not being in fellowship. This is the stuff that really, it was tough for me to read and process. First, if we're not in fellowship, it's easier to be deceived by sin. If we look at Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. How many of us have felt the enemy getting his grip on us, particularly when we're in isolation, when we've isolated ourselves from others? Without encouragement, accountability, without feeling connected or valued, we can start to slip and we can go into a spiral. And we know from what God tells us in James 1:15, sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I would say that death there is a path away from God. So without fellowship, it's easy to be deceived by sin. Secondly, we're not fulfilling our responsibility, underlying responsibility, to the body. In Romans 12, you saw this last week in Pastor Jim's sermon, in Romans 12, 4 and 5, God tells us, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we are many form. We who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Friends, when we accepted Christ into our lives, we made a choice to be responsible to our brothers and sisters, recognizing that we depend on each other. So it's our responsibility as Christians to be in fellowship with each other, unless we choose to be disobedient. Okay, two more. It gets a little harder. We can't fully love God is the third consequence of not being in fellowship. Let's look at 1 John 4:20. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother or sister, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Notice that John says, cannot. I take that to mean that he is in telling us it is impossible to love God as fully as God wants us to if we don't love his children. And finally, the fourth consequence, and then we're going to get to the good news, we remain in death. If we look at 1 John 3:14, which is our scripture text, the full version of that text now, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death, separation from God, the fullness of God. But here's the good news. As soon as we enter into fellowship with each other, and I can say this from personal experience many times in my life, God begins to move in us in amazing ways. And we're told that in Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. The emphasis there is in him we live and move and have our being. Now, despite everything that we just heard, and God tells us about the importance of fellowship and warns us about the consequences of fellowship, we still have some pretty good reasons for not being in fellowship with each other as he intends, the fullness, the full depth of fellowship. The scripture that guides us on this really centers on taking the initiative to get started. It's our free will decision, and we'll see what God says about that in a minute. But I want to talk about quickly here about four reasons, primary reasons, that we choose generally not to enter into fellowship. Number one, I don't have enough time. It's just not a priority for me. My calendar is full. One of the greatest ironies, I think, in life is we say we never have enough time, but we have all the time there is. It's really a matter of priority. If we truly want to be obedient to what we just heard, we'll spend time at it. And here's the thing. There's no room for efficiency in fellowship. Either you're in or you're out. Proverbs 17:17 tells us that. A friend loves at all times, and a brother or sister is born for adversity. God doesn't tell us that a friend loves at times that's convenient for the friend. Friend loves at all times. Second reason, I don't know how to relate to others. I don't feel comfortable relating to others. And maybe I'm concerned I don't want to be judged, particularly if I become more transparent with somebody. Well, as far as knowing how to relate to others or being comfortable with it goes, I don't think that's a surprise. I mean, if you think about how we increasingly teach ourselves to skim relationally with each other, with one-way text messages and emails and voicemails and multitasking and being so overloaded with what we're trying to get done in a day that we don't even have time to interact with each other, much less listen intently to somebody else, it's hard to focus on something other than our own crises or fires that we're trying to put it out. And I'll say to you, my friends, this is the enemy at work, and he is loving it. The more we work at fellowship, just like anything else, the easier it becomes, the more comfortable we become with it. And here's the great part with other Christians. It's easier because we're on the same journey, and we all know we're on the same journey. So there's mutual acceptance. And as far as being judged goes, we know that our identity has nothing to do with what anyone else thinks about us or says about us. Our identity is only in Christ. I preached about this last year. Loved, valuable, competent, equipped for every good work. That's our identity. Third reason we don't connect, I'm comfortable without any real fellowship. Life's great. I'm doing really okay. This is a slippery slope, my friends, for the reasons you just saw. God told us, in order to function the way God intends for us to be in fellowship with each other, we have to understand that core identity. And contrary to what our culture emphasizes, we're not independent entities. We are interdependent members of the body of Christ, as we saw in Romans. And God tells us, I'm going to apply it right here, right now, that every member of WPC is here for a reason. And we know that at least one of them is because at least one other person in this body is depending on one of us and how we relate to them. That's why we're one of the reasons we're here. In other words, God reminds us it's not just about us. It's about being part of a body and serving and being served by one another. And finally, the fourth reason, that person hurt my feelings, that person upset me, I don't like the person, we just don't connect, we're oil and water. Who hasn't been in that position before? I'll say to that, and I'm not perfect at this by any stretch, but all of our spiritual virtues need to be challenged and tested to continue our development unto the likeness of Christ. So those people that we feel incongruent with or don't relate to well or have hurt us, those are opportunities to practice humility, patience, kindness, gentleness, selflessness, long-suffering, and especially love, as we heard in the ultimate command, Galatians 5:14. So if you're already in fellowship, I would ask you to consider the one another's, some that you saw, there's more that you can find in the scriptures, and how you can spur each other onward toward deeper levels of fellowship. And if you're not in fellowship, I just want to touch quickly on what God tells us about how to get started using your lifeline. This is the initiative part. And I'm not saying this is the only way to get started, but I am saying this has worked for me. First and foremost, give it to God. Don't try to go alone. Give it to him through prayer. Acknowledge he's sovereign. He's already aware of your situation, your concerns, your anxiety, and then trust in him. Submit it to him. And start small with an initial level of fellowship. That might be a one-on-one. It might be a small group. It could be a study. Talk with an elder. Talk with a deacon. Get connected. And then here's the key part. Take the initiative. Look at what God says to us about taking the initiative in Ephesians 5:14. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the part about it, how the reciprocity about with God, how in him we live and move and have our being. Wake up, rise from the dead. That takes initiative. and Christ will shine on you. There's a great perspective on spiritual initiative from Oswald Chambers that I want to put up that highlights this verse from Acts about how we live and move in him. We can look at that, Jim. The remarkable thing about spiritual initiative is that the life comes after we do the bucking up. God does not give us overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome. When the inspiration of God comes and he says, "Arise, O sleeper, arise from the dead," we have to get up. God does not lift us up. Our Lord said to the man with the withered hand, "Stretch forth thy hand," and as soon as the man did so, his hand was healed. But he had to take the initiative. If we will do the overcoming, we shall find we are inspired of God because he gives us life immediately. We have to take the first step as though there were no God. It is no use to wait for God to help us. He will not. But immediately we arise and we find he is there. And finally, I want to look at one more scripture verse in 2 Peter, first chapter, verses 5 through 9, where this is God talking to us about taking the initiative. "For this very reason, make every effort to add," and I've underlined and bolded the word "add" here, "to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure," actually, we don't even have to finish the rest of that. Just stop there at the word love. Add means there's something we have to do. Remember, God won't do for us what we can do for ourselves. He's not going to give us good habits like practicing fellowship. He's not going to give us our character. We develop that unto the likeness of Christ by relating to one another. We have to take the initiative. So if the Spirit is speaking to you today to either take the initiative to start into fellowship with someone or to go deeper, don't hesitate. Take the step and be resolute when God speaks to you. Dorothy was a great example of that this morning. Act in faith immediately on what he says this week and never revise your decision. Act in faith. So here's a final few insights. I'm going to personalize this a little bit with what I've experienced about fellowship in my own life. First, what we do between Sundays is so important, friends. Between Sundays. Fellowship is a contact sport. And we can either choose to be a spectator at a worship service, just like this, or we can choose to be a participant in God's plan that he already has ready for each one of us to either continue if we're in fellowship, or to initiate if we're not. But we have to choose. We have to choose what he wants for us, and we have to take the initiative to work on it throughout the week. Second, fellowship is a lifestyle. It's not an activity. It's a lifestyle. It's not a destination. It's the journey itself. And we're all on the same journey as Christians into ever-deepening levels of relationship with each other and with God. That's spiritual growth. And when we're on that journey and we connect with someone else who's sharing the same journey, our conversations will be the best. Our friendships will grow to be deep. They'll be blessed. They'll be genuine. In other words, they'll be transformational. And that's what spiritual growth is. And that's our mission at WPC. And finally, to be a friend, you have to be friend-worthy. This is back to the reciprocity and the interdependency that I spoke of earlier, inherent in the one another's. That means give and receive. Help and seek to be helped. Be willing to accept that help and be willing to love and be loved in all circumstances. Now, I know there's people who have spoken to me here at WPC and elsewhere who have volunteered at church, participated in church activities, come to service regularly. And some of those folks have said, "I don't really feel connected. I don't feel valued. I don't feel cared for." For anybody who might feel that way, I would say it's probably because you're not volunteering enough. It's not because you're simply not trying hard enough. Consider Again, from personal experience, it might be because you haven't entered into the deeper levels of fellowship that God's asking us to. That kind of fellowship will revolutionize your view of what church is and how it can impact your life. I know that for myself, I feel connected to this body. I feel valued. I feel cared for. I just went through some difficult times. I'm going through one right now, and I'm connected. Fellowship has added a richness to my life that I enjoy, a desire to be with others and for God that continues to grow. And the minute I feel it stopping, I use my lifeline. I'm spurred onward through those relationships, and I'm learning how to love and to be loved in greater depth and dimension. So that's what God says about fellowship. And thankfully, we can choose to use as many lifelines as we want through fellowship. We don't just get one. And there's 200 or so good lifelines right here in WPC, right in this body, that we can throw, call up, and use a lifeline. So if you're already in fellowship with others, I know, and we all know, that God's pleased with that. I'd ask you to consider inviting others to join you and encourage each other to go to deeper depths of fellowship. And if you're not in fellowship, take the initiative. Take the initiative to get involved. Use your lifeline. Be ready to thank God for what's about to happen in your life. And in that spirit, I want to say for the men, we're having a get-together this Thursday night. I think it's at 6:30 p.m. at my house. We're going to have dinner. We're going to play pool. We're going to shoot darts and do other guy stuff, like talk about how great we are and things like that. But I would love it if every man in this sanctuary, I'm not kidding, I would love it if every man in this sanctuary would show up at my house and bring a friend, Christian, non-Christian, part of WPC, not a WPC. This is what fellowship is, guys. Let's connect. You can sign up downstairs. There's a poster board right outside at the bottom of the stairs. And we're going to have a good time. So consider that might be some initiative to take. Let's close in prayer. So, Lord, thank you for your words today. Thank you for your instruction on fellowship. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to speak to each one of us this week as we think about your word and how we might apply it to our lives. May today be a new day of fellowship at WPC and in this community. And all the praise and glory is to you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.
With this scripture from Hebrews,